Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. What are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Well, this is about the death of Princess Diana. But of course, I remember this being a big deal. Perhaps not quite the deal it was in England, for obvious reasons, but it received constant coverage because she was so well known and so well liked around the world.
It's a huge deal, and much like any other conspiracy, rumors went abound right afterwards, and the monster grew to form what it is today. And trying to jump into this conspiracy years later, let me tell you, Aaron, I thought it was a mess. I thought it was just chaos trying to figure out exactly what the mainstream conspiracy theory was, or, you know, there's just so many different stories and versions of what people say happened on that fateful night that it's hard to get a grasp of it now.
That's hard to say. I think when it comes to conspiracies, it's not about having an overwhelming opinion of a particular conspiracy. It's about an overwhelming opinion of there being a conspiracy, even if no one shares the same conspiracy.
That's a good way to put it.
So for anyone who's looking for the main conspiracy here, we'll get into that. But I think what we should do is start with exactly what happened, as far as we know, that night, because this happened in Paris early morning after 12 a.m. Paris time.
Diana and her entourage essentially were staying at the Ritz Hotel in Paris. They were trying to leave the hotel and devising a way to get out of the hotel without alerting the paparazzi, essentially.
She's a princess, and he's the son of an Egyptian billionaire. He's also a movie producer. So they're an interesting couple. Of course, the media wants to cover them.
So Dodi's her boyfriend at that time. She was married to Prince Charles, the most popular woman in Europe and most of that hemisphere of the world. So anything and everything. I mean, you think Kim Kardashian gets attention, not the attention that Princess Diana gets. If you hang out with Princess Diana, you become famous for hanging out with her. So kind of a big deal. The entire country is obsessed with her on a level that we don't understand in America. it's a whole other level. So yeah, the paparazzi are everywhere and they're trying to figure out how do we get out of here without the paparazzi taking pictures of her and Dodi, right? I mean, they just don't, they want their privacy at this point.
Right. I think it's more about the privacy, just being able to move along with their evening instead of being harassed.
The security contention is trying to figure out how to do this. And this is kind of commonplace. They always have to do this. They always have to figure out what their game plan is. And sometimes the game plan works. Sometimes it doesn't work, you know, but the worst case of it is typically they get their pictures taken by the paparazzi. So what, they want to go out the back door, maybe have a diversion car leave that the paparazzi will take off and follow. They, you know, all their little tactics. So they end up getting the driver and kind of hastily coming up with a, not a great plan, but a plan. And they jump in the car and go out the back and try to find an alternate route to wherever their destination was, right?
Well, they certainly didn't take the most direct route. That's part of the issue. One of the things that sets off conspiracies is, why did they take this other route? From the very first moment here, they're trying to avoid getting hung up with paparazzi.
And the route they chose, it does take them a little bit out of their way, and it takes them through a tunnel. They didn't trick the paparazzi. So there were, I think, I don't remember how many vehicles were following them, but there was a couple motorcycles and a car, at least two or three following them. They're in their Mercedes. They're driving at a very high rate of speed. They enter this tunnel. They have a really bad accident in this tunnel. Diana and her boyfriend end up dying.
Well, we should, I think we should mention what happens just before the accident. There's a Fiat Uno in front of them that's going too slow for the driver's liking. So he attempts to go around that car.
Yeah, he attempts to overtake the Fiat. Clips.
They clip that vehicle. And that happens before the accident.
It's a possibility that the driver clipped the Fiat, tried to overcompensate, lost control of the vehicle, ended up hitting the pillar, or he clipped the Fiat, got into the tunnel, lost control, had nothing to do with the Fiat, and hit the pillar. He was going very fast. So the collision was, it's amazing that there was a survivor in this collision.
Well, the we should say the Fiat Uno is not a large enough vehicle to take the Mercedes out.
No.
We should also say that when the Mercedes strikes this, it's known as the 13th concrete pillar. It's traveling at this point at least 65 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And there were reports of tire streaking tires, tire tracks left behind, which may indicate that they did try to stop at the last moment. But 65 miles per hour into a concrete pillar is pretty devastating. And it sends the Mercedes spinning the other way and into a wall, the side of the tunnel, facing back the way which they came. And if anyone's seen the images of this car, the car is pretty devastated on the side that strikes the side of the tunnel, as well as the entire front of the vehicle is completely mangled.
Yeah. And for the conspiracy, they say this Fiat was, you know, MI6 or whatever, or the assassins gone to kill Princess Di, and the Fiat, you know, tried to hit the Mercedes and run it off the road and cause the accident. I don't know. I think I would choose something else besides a Fiat if I wanted to run a Mercedes off the road. Maybe they chose that car because it was the most nondescript car, but I think a larger vehicle would be a more proper vehicle to run another car off the road, whether it be an SUV or a car of at least the same size and weight as the car you're trying to careem off the road. But that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah. Some would say that the Fiat may have had some sort of a device to blind the driver of the Mercedes, something that would blind them momentarily, so that this tunnel is actually, the design of it is pretty dangerous if you're traveling at a high rate of speed and drunk, we should say. Yeah. The driver of the Mercedes was drunk, and this was confirmed by tests done after the fact, after the accident.
It was confirmed by two tests. The first test was the regular autopsy on him. And when there were allegations that blood samples were swapped out, another doctor filmed himself doing the second blood test from start to finish, showing this is the blood from the driver, and here I am testing it, and here are the results, and here is his blood alcohol content. And if you believe that even that is a lie or a swap out, then all the people that handled the bodies from the original EMTs up until the final autopsy are in on it. Every single one of those people, which at this point could be hundreds of people.
There's actually a very strong timeline in this case. And I found that to be possibly the most interesting fact when I was reading about Princess Diana's death here, is that there's a very good timeline for what happens from the moment they enter that tunnel all the way to the point at which Princess Diana arrives at the hospital. And we know who reaches the car first, and that's Romuald Raw. He's a photographer, and he approaches the vehicle, and he can see right away that some of the people are obviously dead, but he touches a woman, and at this point, he doesn't know who she is. But he says when he touches her that she moves a little and that she breathes. Mm-hmm. And then the very next person that shows up is a man known as Frederic Maillet. And he's actually an off-duty doctor. He was off-duty at the time, and his specialty is emergency medicine. And he actually has a kit with him. And he runs back to get the kit after he appraises what's going on in the vehicle, which he says that the bodyguard, Reese Jones, was screaming that he has an injury and that he's screaming. And he said that Diane appeared unconscious. Mm-hmm. Well, he goes back and gets his medical bag. And by that time, photographers are starting to take pictures. And Maillet gets out something to administer oxygen to Diana because he feels like that's what she needs at the time. And so there's a timeline here. So we know who's showing up and when. Some students are now happening upon the scene, and they decide to help get the photographers away from the vehicle because they know that this is a horrible accident and that medical teams aren't going to need to get in there. They actually put their hands up and walk towards the photographers, and the photographers all start backing up. And from what I understand, not one of them gave them any trouble. They didn't try to argue with them. Mm-hmm. And then a police officer shows up just after they're being pushed back, and he helps keep them back. And 17 minutes after the accident, so this is at 12:40 in the morning, an ambulance arrives for Diana. And this is key. 37 minutes after the accident, they actually try to move Diana to the ambulance, and she suffers a heart attack.
Yeah.
And so they have to work on trying to resuscitate her. It's actually not until 1 hour and 43 minutes after the accident that she's actually, the ambulance gets her to the hospital. Yeah. And that's because the injuries and because of what her body was going through, they had to be very careful about moving her. They needed to get her stable before they could move her. And I know this is something that factors into the conspiracies, which is, why did they take so long to get her to the hospital? And all I can tell anybody who has questions about this is, trained medical professionals have to stabilize a person before they can move them.
And also in France, their policy is to work on the person at the scene and not always just race them to the hospital the way we do in America or anywhere else. So it's not standard procedure to just pick somebody up and race them to the hospital. It's work on them right there at the scene. And they have high-tech ambulances to do this.
Well, she ends up at the hospital. And, of course, Doty and Henri Paul both died at the scene at the very moment of the accident. And Rhys Jones survived. But, of course, at this point, Princess Diana's status is unknown. And those who saw her in the vehicle said that there was a little bit of blood on her, that she looked like she may have had an injury. But they said that there was no indication to them just how serious she was injured. And this is because of the impact, she was thrown around inside the vehicle. None of the occupants had been wearing their seatbelts, which, of course, as you know, increases your chance of death
tenfold. Yeah.
By a large amount. There's just no way. When you get thrown around, you just get we know that she had severe internal damage. And if she had worn her seatbelt, she'd have had a much better chance at survival. But they didn't. I bring this up because one of the conspiracies I read was that Princess Diana had been talking about how she knew that her life was in danger. And it's surprising to me because, of course, they're trying to get away from paparazzi, but they're fleeing at high speed. I cannot say whether they knew their driver was legally drunk or not, but they didn't bother with seatbelts. So at any point in time, they could have put their seatbelts on. They never did. You would think once the car picked up speed, they would have, but they didn't. So that was a major factor in what happened here.
Yeah, this is kind of their standard fare, is racing around town in high-speed cars with their security entourage. This is normal. I remember on my police ride-along, as soon as that cop hit the gas to go to that first call, my seatbelt was on. I mean, there was no... I'm scared out of my mind. But if I was in a car every day going high rates of speed, I might be a little bit more comfortable with it. But the guy's blood alcohol content, the driver's, 3 times over the limit. Now, I know a lot of people feel okay even if they're at 0.08 or whatever the legal limit is. But 3 times over that, you're pretty drunk. Now, I know... there was security footage of them at the Ritz, and the conspiracy theorists like to point out that the driver does not appear drunk. He does not appear, you know, 3 sheets to the wind, but it's a video and he's just walking. He could probably stabilize himself, you know, on a grainy camera angle. And also, how do you know how drunk he is if you're not standing right there in front of him? You can't smell him. A cop can't assess if you're drunk or not through the window of your car. He has to roll down the window and talk to you, get you out of the car. So I don't know why people would say he doesn't appear drunk on the video, so therefore it's a lie and this is all a big conspiracy. I can't make that leap. They got a drunk driver behind the wheel and they're not wearing their seatbelts. and they're speeding through a dangerous tunnel. It's hard for me to make a leap there that this was intentional.
Well, people that knew Henri Paul also stated that he was not a heavy drinker, but we don't know if they're just trying to make him look better or if they didn't know him as well as they thought they did, because the blood test didn't lie.
No.
So whether he drank all the time or not, it really has no relevance. The only question you need to ask yourself is, was he drunk that night?
And he was.
And according to the two tests they ran, he was drunk. So it doesn't matter whether he was a heavy drinker or not. In fact, I would say, what does that tell you? If he wasn't a heavy drinker and he drank a lot that night and then raced a car at high speed in through a tunnel, that may be even more dangerous.
Yeah. And another thing that was made a big deal about was carbon dioxide levels in his autopsy report. They say that they were way too high. If any normal person has that much carbon dioxide in their system, then they would be lightheaded or fainting or unable to stabilize themselves. Well, there were multiple tests taken from his body, and the levels fluctuate greatly depending on what area of the body they were taken from. And this guy is a heavy smoker. So guess what? All you smokers out there, you're going to test really high for these levels when you die. Some people will say that you shouldn't be alive because of those levels. Maybe they're right, but the human body is very resilient, and we smoke for years and years before we have health problems. And I didn't really understand what the conspiracy theorists were saying about the carbon dioxide levels anyways, because did somebody put a hose from the exhaust pipe into the car and they were feeding off their own fumes? Like, I didn't get it. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's very difficult to explain that. Very difficult. But getting into the conspiracies, we have a lot of nefarious titles being thrown around. MI6, the royal family. And I found that many of these conspiracy theories have to do with her relationship with Doty. And for one, I find it odd because they weren't together that long. And yet, conspiracy theorists would go on and on about how she was pregnant and that they were getting married, and that essentially, we can boil it down to this, that the royal family did not want this union to happen. They didn't want to see Princess Diana have a child with this Egyptian.
There was another rabbit hole I went down that shows the royal family and how pretty much screwed up they are. And like, there's a brother that's like deals meth and is not a great guy. There's the family's just screwed up. And if even 1/10 of this documentary was true, the royal family is not perfect. They got problems. The only way I look at it, though, is look at your own family. Do you think just because you're a multi-billionaire, you'll have a perfect family? Do you think just money and power makes you perfect? I mean, if we analyze our families, we're going to find death, suicide, drugs, all of the above in our normal families. So just because you put the title royal on there doesn't mean they're any worse or any better than anyone else. I didn't really get what the conspiracy was, besides they think that the royal family wanted her dead and they had ties to, you know, MI6 and whatever that would do this. I guess it was more or less they're a loose cannon, and therefore they had her murdered because they're aggressive and just psychotic. But again, it's a loose allegation that didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, the short amount of time that they were together, to me, it almost seems laughable that there would be this pregnancy and that there would be a wedding on the horizon for them. They're dating. And I think this falls into the, well, she's really important, he's very important, and so they just decided that this, they're just going to be together. There's nothing to set that up. The only thing that I can find, because we went through in our reading, I know that you did as well, the pregnancy was just a rumor.
Yeah, there was the paparazzi took a very unflattering photo of Princess Diana in a bikini where she has a little pudge, and they're calling it a bump alert. And, you know, but reporters will take really unflattering pictures of superstars, pop stars out on the beach every day. And rumors fly and inquiring minds want to know, but it doesn't mean it's real or true. So during Diana's autopsy, they checked and she wasn't pregnant. 2 weeks before the death, she had seen her doctor and her doctor confirmed she wasn't pregnant. Her best friend says, no, she wasn't pregnant. So her best friend's in on the conspiracy, the doctor's in on the conspiracy, and the guy doing the autopsy's in on the conspiracy. Got it.
They even tested her blood from inside the vehicle.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
Now, the other part here, and this is actually, if you want something to chew on, this is about all there is Dodie had purchased a ring for her.
When you're the son in a multi-billion dollar family, you can purchase gifts for people. It doesn't mean you're engaged. It doesn't mean you're going to get married. It doesn't mean anything. It just means you got a lot of money to spend.
Right, jewelry. People that know them, people that knew Dodie, have said they don't know that anybody would ever know at this point why he purchased the ring. But none of them seem to even suspect anything with it. They just weren't together that long. The spotlight's always on her. That's where this case starts, is all the attention's focused on her. And I really don't see anything about her that suggests that she would just run off and get pregnant and get married that quickly. Every step she takes has to be calculated. The world's eyes are upon her constantly.
And she hated it. She hated every ounce of that. She was actually a very humble woman. and she was kind of swept up in this fantasy royal, you know, dream. She was, you know, bulimic or had eating disorders. She actually tried to commit suicide a few times. She hated Prince Charles by the end of their marriage. And I think that her and Prince Charles are two very different personalities, and they might have liked each other in the beginning. He might have settled for her because he was pressured into, you know, you got to get married. And she, why would she say no? You know, the prince asked me to marry him. That's an automatic yes. But for the most part, they seem to be a pretty horrible couple. I hope I don't offend all of our friends over on the other side of the pond over there, but she was depressed. She wasn't into this. So when she finally got out of the relationship, she was actually happy again. And this was her, Dodie was her first rebound. I mean, let's call it what it is. Rebound relationship. She was happy with him, but she knows the cameras are on her. So she's still got to be timid. She's still got to watch her step.
And by all accounts, from what we know, Prince Charles was very happy with Camilla.
Yeah, exactly.
So however the relationship went, things seemed to work out in the end.
Yeah.
They ended up having two children together.
Mm-hmm.
Two sons. So I would say most of the world would probably say that even though their relationship hadn't worked out, that things did work out in a way, because they had these two children who have gone on to be, I would say, pretty good representatives for the royal family.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I could take that conspiracy angle seriously, but there's nothing to back it up that I was able to find. Did you find anything that even seemed remotely possible?
Can I go on a little rant for you real quick? So after the car accident, they say that the tunnel was cleared within 24 hours, and that was way too fast. And that shows or proves that they were covering it up or cleaning up the crime scene. And therefore, you know, they should have left it open long, or they should have closed it longer, so they could have really analyzed and investigated the murder scene. And my question is, how long should they have closed that tunnel down? 2 days? 2 weeks? I mean, here in America, when we have a fatality accident, 2 hours at best is what they give you. They're going to actually shut this tunnel down for 2 weeks to investigate what they see as a car accident? I mean, what is it? I mean, are they supposed to close it down forever? Well, if they closed it down for 2 weeks, then you would say, oh, well, they had to sit there and really show us what happened. Therefore, it's a conspiracy. I mean, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So they investigated it for 24 hours, opened the tunnel back up to let traffic back through. They can't keep this tunnel closed forever. It's just one more thing is that they bring up. If you put all those pieces together, you know, took them 2 hours to get her to the hospital. They cleared the accident way too quickly. She had an affair. She was part of a royal family. You know, but I'm sorry that the truth isn't as fun as the fantasy. And as people say, she was an extraordinary woman who died a very unextraordinary death. And that sucks. But here we have, you know, Jimi Hendrix or, you know, Kurt Cobain or, you know, the Kennedys or whatever, who die in accidents or who commit suicide. Extraordinary people dying tragic, unextraordinary deaths. That's life. I don't know. There was so many different pieces of this conspiracy. It was hard to pin down anything. So I just kind of stuck to the core of it.
Well, having such a well laid out timeline, we can look over and see where the loose ends are, as they say. Mm-hmm. Where are the questions that remain? Because they can test blood, they can do autopsies, they can examine the wreckage. But that's not where the conspiracies lie. One of them is the Fiat Uno that got away. But there is an idea that there's a man named James Andenson. He's a photojournalist who owns such a car. Mm-hmm. And he later committed suicide. Well, he had been home that night with his wife, and he had flown out the next day to Corsica. So if it was he that was driving that Fiat, then, well, it's not likely that it was, is it?
No.
But we should also, again, say that this Fiat is not the kind of vehicle that can move a Mercedes around. It's just not going to be possible.
A Fiat, it's about the same size as a Mini Cooper. It's a little bit bigger than a smart car. I mean, it's not big. And they were in a sedan, a Mercedes sedan, twice the size as the Fiat. And I thought that they actually tested the paint from the Mercedes and the paint on that photojournalist Fiat, and it did not match. Although that's just disregarded by the conspiracy theorists saying, well, you know, they can say whatever they want. Well,
right.
I spent a lot of time going through her relationship with Prince Charles and going through the family and that their relationships with each other. And it's sad because it was just apparent to me that they are just like everybody else trying to get through their day. And if any of us had 24/7 surveillance by paparazzi trying to take the most unflattering pictures of us all the time, we're all going to behave in a different way. So anything that they do can be misconstrued as sneaky or trying to obfuscate the truth. Yet here the paparazzi is documenting it every second of the day. If there was a conspiracy, how did they miss it? The paparazzi is pretty diligent. And I think the main supporters of this conspiracy are Dodi's father. And of course the Middle East countries that think, you know, everything's a conspiracy, essentially. Well, it's just not Middle East. It's pretty much widespread across the world. I can't say that, but they want to believe these fantastical tales without analyzing any part of the evidence. And I think it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, true crime fanatics, we like to look at the evidence. We like to say, hey, there was a drop of blood in the kitchen. How did that get there? It places the suspect or the assailant there, so we know that they were in the kitchen. You know, it's just, that's science. That's a fact. How did the drop of blood get there? They had to have been there. And when it comes to these big events, the evidence is never even taken in consideration for the most part. And here we have a tragic car accident with somebody who is extremely intoxicated behind the wheel. I don't know what more you need than that.
Well, we should ask, start with you. What do you think happened? Do you think it's as the official story has it? Or do you think there's something else at work at all?
I don't think the royal family was happy with Diana's choices. I think it was a PR disaster for them. But that PR disaster was less of a disaster than having her executed and being blamed for that. So I think it was a messy situation. Don't think they could put together an assassination attempt like this. I think they would have done it in a much more clean way, because this was really messy. I mean, what if she'd lived through the car accident? What if she had her seatbelt on? What if the driver had hit the brakes a little sooner and didn't hit the pillar? What if the Fiat wasn't there? There's so many what ifs. There's so many variables in this that there's no way it could have just happened. Like, there's no way they could have planned this and made it happen. It'd be like a one in a million kind of situation, especially with paparazzi all over the place. So it's just one of those things where I believe the, at least the official story of how the accident happened, I believe it 100%. Now, if you want to, if you want to talk about the royal family and all their, you know, ties and misgivings, or if they've, you know, have like some sort of weird affiliation with the Nazis or God knows what other rabbit holes I read through. I don't know. You know, there's no proof or anything that you can that verifies those allegations. But as far as the car accident, we have physical evidence that shows how this went down. And that's all I got. It's all I got to go on. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I believe there's a few things at work here. One, I think the most important fact in this whole case is that Henri Paul was not working before he was asked to drive that car. He was off work. Hence why he was drinking.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult for me to sit here and cast blame on this man. I think it would be easier to cast blame on him if he knew he was working and got drunk. Now, it's still his responsibility not to drive drunk.
Yeah.
But I'm not in his shoes. He's being asked to drive by Dodie and Princess Diana of Wales.
You don't say no to them, do you?
You're being told you need to drive the car. I think he's in a bad spot at that point.
Yeah.
I don't think he can just refuse. These aren't people you say no to. And I'm not trying to say they're rude people or mean people. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying they are very powerful people, and he worked for them. Sure, he shares responsibility. He could have said no, and that may have saved their lives. But on the other hand, he was being told what to do by people who he worked for. And the other problem here is that they weren't wearing their seatbelts. Mm-hmm. And when you want to either verify or disprove or debunk a conspiracy, the best way to do it is to look at the simplest explanation. This just fits. They were trying to get away from paparazzi. They made a call. Do you know how many people are in accidents every day because they make a call, a wrong call? I'll just go around that car. Oh, I'll just go over to the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, they're either hitting a deer, striking another car, or any other number of things could happen while you're traveling at high speed on a highway or through a roadway or through a tunnel. And when you're traveling in a heavy vehicle at high speed, it just takes a moment for everything to go fatally wrong.
It just kind of sparks something. Why isn't the conspiracy that MI6 got the driver drunk and then sent him on their way? Like, that would make way more sense. Like, they got the driver drunk intentionally so he would wreck the car. Instead of saying the driver wasn't drunk and there was this whole orchestration to do this thing, it's like, why don't you just admit the driver was drunk and then change the theory to that was intentional? But they don't do that. And it's just insane to me that would make more sense. Like, I don't like you. That guy's driving you around. I'm going to take him over to the bar, give him some, you know, car bombs and send him on your way. And well, good luck with that. That would make more sense as a conspiracy, wouldn't it?
It's tough. There's different ways to look at that. For one, they could say, well, if he appears too drunk, then they won't use him. That's always possible. But I would say even more to the point is that they cannot acknowledge that any major part of the official story is correct. They cannot do that. conspiracy theories don't work by verifying any bit of the official story. They work by saying everything you're told is a lie. Here's your secret information. You're now part of a different elite. You're not going to be the elite that has money or power, but you'll have knowledge, and that's better in the end. And now you can sleep at night because you're special too.
I want to know the truth. I want what's real. I don't want the fantasy. I want it in front of me. I want the evidence. I don't want the porno. I want to have a happy, loving relationship. I don't want to think unicorns are real. I want to ride a real horse. I don't know. I mean, that.
Well, Justin, you're one person in a world of many people, and there are plenty of people out there still spotting lake monsters. They're still looking for the intruder in the JonBenet case. Yeah. And the list goes on. People are always looking for that fantasy. You know, to be honest, you have to understand where they're coming from. You already mentioned it, but someone this important can't just die in an accident. So this case obviously garnered a lot of attention at the time that it was ongoing. Early into that morning, people were still following the case. They estimate that 500 million people were regularly tuning in. At 4 a.m., within the hospital, they pronounced her dead. Now, there was a reporter who sometime around 4 a.m., I imagine, they noticed a representative from the royal family had shown up at the hospital, had gone into a room. And when they exited the room, they walked up to the wall, they leaned against it, and then slumped down slowly to the floor. And that's when they knew something terrible had happened. They suspected that Diana had died. Now, the official press release on this didn't happen until 6 a.m. So it was about 2 hours later. And I imagine that has to do with they needed to inform the royal family, Prince Charles. They needed to inform them first. But what happened was they spent 2 hours trying to resuscitate her after her second heart attack. She suffered one heart attack at the scene when they tried to move her the first time. And then later she had another one, and they spent 2 hours trying to bring her back. And they did everything they could. Her injuries were pretty serious. And I know many people who just look at images or hear about what people saw, they'll say, well, she didn't seem to be that injured. But she was seriously injured. And this came up in the inquest. She had right side chest trauma, apparent fracture to the right upper arm and right wrist, and a wound to her right thigh. And she also had an injury to her face. They also state that she was in a medically abnormal position in the back of the car, and that's because she was thrown about in the accident. And as soon as they removed her, that's when she went into cardiac arrest. And they were able to restart her heart the first time, but not the second.
If they gave her drugs to give her a heart attack, or if these injuries weren't real, then why the whole charade? Drug her. Why not just and then say in the autopsy that she had on a heart attack? You know, I mean, there's a simpler way that doesn't require as much attention.
Well, some have even theorized that the doctor at the scene, who I mentioned, Frederick Maie, when he was administering oxygen, he was actually killing her. When you have an accident of this nature, high speed, and the majority of people had died in the accident, it doesn't seem so surprising to most people. I would say that most people don't believe that there's a conspiracy here.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or grandmother for years to come. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. What was your favorite toy as a child? Or what's your favorite memory of your grandmother? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. After a year of responses, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. My mom completed her story, and each of her kids now has a copy to read and share with their kids. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/GenY. That's storyworth.com/GenY to save $10 on your first purchase.
I think that's probably true for most conspiracies. Mm-hmm. I know there are some that have persisted and there are a large number of people who believe in them, but I would say this is one that I don't think most people believe there's a conspiracy here. You have a drunk driver, high-speed car chase.
Well, and we are a little biased in our opinion because we're here in America and we can look at, you know, I mean, let's just be honest. Most Americans don't care about a foreign dignitary or a foreign conspiracy theory. We only care about what happens here, you know? So, yeah, maybe in America, we don't believe the conspiracy about her, but possible. But if you were to say, well, how many people believe the 9/11 conspiracy in America? I would say a lot, not 50%, but I would say a good 20 to 40% of Americans probably still think there was a conspiracy behind 9/11 that doesn't involve, you know, hijackers. So maybe over in Europe, a lot of people do still believe that there was a conspiracy here. I don't know.
The final question I had was, were the photographers, aka the paparazzi, to blame at all for this accident? And so looking into this, I wanted to find out, did they obstruct any rescue efforts? Did they really cause the accident? Were they really responsible? People who were paying attention at the time know that quite a few photographers were put into a police vehicle and they were driven to the station.
Yeah.
And the chief of police actually came out and said that the accident was linked to paparazzi. And he seemed to indicate that he thought the paparazzi were somewhat responsible or responsible for the accident. So you could see from the very beginning that the paparazzi were, at least in the minds of many, responsible for what happened. But given all of the photographs and that were taken, we can clearly see that they weren't obstructing any rescue efforts at all. There was a question about whether they should have been trying to help. Mm-hmm. And I found it odd that whenever photographers, the ones who were there, were questioning about this, you know, one of them was saying, well, I didn't have a shotgun. I didn't have a pistol. I wasn't there to kill anybody. Mm-hmm. The real question, though, should have been, should you have helped? Yeah. And let me just say this, and this is just my opinion, but if you have a horrible accident like this and you have no medical training whatsoever, I think the best thing you can do is not get involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the car is on fire, you can pull the person out of the car, but other than that, you're going to do more damage than good.
Exactly. Think about it. When the professionals tried to move her, she had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened if the paparazzi, instead of taking pictures, decided, oh, we'll move her out of the vehicle for, you know, mm-hmm. to help her. And she had a heart attack. She wouldn't have made it as long as she did. She would not have had a chance.
No. And the driver chose to drive at an excessive rate of speed to escape the paparazzi. So, yeah, I guess you could say they're linked to it. But he could have driven at the speed limit and allowed the paparazzi to try to take their pictures if they wanted. But that's not what they chose to do.
So that brings up the question of, because the paparazzi pursued, at least up until the tunnel, were they responsible? And here's where I think this is something that should be obvious to most. But if it isn't, keep this in mind. When you're a public person, you lose your privacy. Mm-hmm. All that fame that you have, everyone wants to know what you're doing. They want to know what you're wearing. They want to know who you're out with. So I see nothing wrong with what the paparazzi did. And trust me, I looked for it, because if someone had asked me just weeks ago, what do you think? Do you think the paparazzi had a hand in this? I was one of those people that thought maybe all that flash photography blinded the driver.
Yeah.
Which is very dangerous. Maybe they shouldn't be taking pictures while they're driving around.
Mm-hmm.
But after reading up on the timeline and how everything went down, it's really the choices that were made by the people that were inside that Mercedes that caused this. And it seems really apparent to me. And so in the end, I have to say, reporters report. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And it's because the people want to know. So if anything, if you want to blame the paparazzi, blame yourself, because they're only fulfilling a need that's out there, a need that's brought about by the very people who are reading those papers and watching those television programs about these celebrities.
Did you see the movie Nightcrawler?
No.
Jake Gyllenhaal? It pretty much just summarizes everything you just said. The reporters, the news, give us what we want. And we want death and destruction and scandal. And that's what the paparazzi's there for, is that. So they're giving us what we want.
I should also say, you also brought it up once already, but Princess Diana was someone who was more well-liked, seemingly from what I can tell, than anyone else in the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure that caused some trouble for the royal family. But it also it illustrates why this case blew up the way it did. And it's because she was so adored. And even though we're not in England, I can get it. I can understand why this was such a major event. The entire nation was riveted, waiting on every tidbit or morsel of news on this case as it unfolded.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.